Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
He's learned it now at school,
right?
Because my sister-in-law is pregnant, and he says I can't look at Aunt Holly anymore.
Oh, because
why? Because I know what she did. I was like, oh my god!
Oh, to be that age.
So I know he's learned. He's learned the mechanics of it.
Welcome to Bad Parents, a podcast about three bad parents. We're trying to raise good kids. She's Shauna.
Hello.
He's Ryan.
What's up?
And I'm Johnny. A Tell It Like It Is podcast for parents to laugh, cry, and to make you feel better about your parenting.
And on this particular podcast, we break it down in three parts and we tackle three difficult questions your children may ask. And I won't tell you what they are, but I'll tell you out of the three of them, I'm familiar with one.
Welcome to the Bad Parents Podcast. My name is Johnny Garbett. I'm going to try my best to not be a bad parent right now and blame my kids for the way that my voice sounds.
Okay.
One's in daycare, one's in JK. Think a lot of stuff they're bringing home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing as a parent.
Amazing.
When you have your baby, you say to yourself, you know, I wonder what their voice is going to sound like. Right? I wonder what they're going to talk about. I wonder how, when they sing a song, what it's going to sound like and all these things. And you just can't wait because it hasn't happened yet. You don't know. And now that my kids are 3 and 5, the questions won't stop. I know how your voice sounds. Yeah. I know what it sounds like when you're happy, sad, screaming in my ear on a Saturday morning at 5:30. Like, I know it now. And the questions are just so fast and furious. And I can't believe how deep the questions are at such an early age.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought maybe in this edition of the Bad Parents Podcast, we can all talk about the different questions that you're surprised that your kids have asked you already and then kind of how you handled it.
Okay.
I'll go first.
All right.
And again, I hate passing the buck to other people, but my kid's uncle, Uncle Adam, Christmas Light Adam, who helps me with my Christmas
lights. The real man in their life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The real father figure and male dominant figure in their life.
Yep.
Their entire family's really into horror. They like horror a lot. Like, they'll go see a Rob Zombie, take the whole family to the Rob Zombie show.
Really? And
So my daughter has been exposed to it in not a real hardcore way, but around. And so she'll watch like Halloween-y things in the middle of summer and things like that. And she kind of asks me, like, are skeletons dead?
Mm-hmm.
And so, which kind of like goes down a slippery slope in death, and am I going to die?
Mm-hmm.
And what does dying mean? And where do you go? And all those things. I really just kind of want to lie to her and just tell her you're going to live forever.
Oh.
I want to, right? Yeah. You're 5. You need not to worry about death.
No,
at that sort of age. And am I being a bad parent by just at 5? Like, what's the answer? Like, what is that answer of, am I going to die? The answer is yes, and I'm going to die. And your mother's going to die. Your brother's going to die. The grandparents that you love so much are going to die.
Wow. I would start like this.
No, but I'm just saying, I know. I'm not trying to be funny.
I know.
I'm just saying that, like, the answer is yes, but how do you, because I have no training. I don't have any sort of psychological degree. You do, Shauna.
Yeah.
How do you broach that subject of death with a child who I think is just asking a very honest and innocent question?
As I answer all difficult questions, is let's go to sleep and I'll tell you tomorrow. And I hope that they forget. It's really hard. Yeah. I don't have the answer. I go on the side of honesty. As hard as it may be, I not in huge doses,
right,
but I don't lie. I think they need to be able to trust that the parent is giving them the answer. So yeah, I do say everybody dies, and then you're right. It does start a whole other conversation, like about heaven and about what's after. So it's just trying to figure out how much they can handle at whatever age or maturity they're at.
I feel that with Olivia, who's older, her biggest concern is not necessarily like the afterlife. It's being alone And, you know, being a kid and having your parent die at five, right? Like, she doesn't know that she'll have a job and a house. And you know what I mean? She'll be an adult and be able to take care of herself.
Right.
Her concern is like, you know, who's making dinner if daddy dies?
Right.
And the question is your new daddy.
Yeah, that's right. Which probably wouldn't be shortly thereafter.
Right. Well,
Sarah would probably move on pretty fast. Mm-hmm. I would say, I would let
like
them.
How fast?
Like,
okay, so this.
She has children.
This is dropping. Today's the date, Wednesday, yeah. April 24th. April 24th. Like, before Christmas?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's almost a year.
Yeah, Johnny, come on.
It's Christmas.
I'd say, listen, May 2 for a weekend. She's up to the cottage. She's going to cottage country with Bryce.
Oh, Bryce. No.
It was very athletic.
Daddy Bryce. Yeah. He puts up his own Christmas lights.
Yes, that's right. I would say, okay, let me ask you both. Johnny, not so much in your case because your kids are so much younger, 5 and 3. So I'm assuming. Have your children ever experienced someone they love dying?
Yes, yes.
Someone they were close to?
Yeah, my grandma, their great-grandma.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. And I think that was the first part of it because that was about maybe 3 years ago, four years ago.
And sometimes, not that it helps, but like your children don't have any concept of it yet, right?
No.
Like, so for example, like my children, my little guy wouldn't really remember him too much, but my older boy, my middle boy definitely were very close to my father who died in 2016. And so they have that, you know, and they ask about Gampy every once in a while. And then they ask, my mom passed away when I was 20. And so every once in a while, they'll ask about, you know, did your mother have an accent? Because she's from England. All, you know, they just little things. And all I try to tell them is like, you know, you understand that eventually everyone does pass away, but that's a long time from everyone you love is very healthy. And,
but
it also, you take the opportunity to say you enjoy every moment. And I've said to, you know, like, especially my older boy, when he, you know, if he's having some rough times or, you know, there's tension in the house, I say, just so for some perspective, I said, when I was your age, I only had like 4 years left of my mother.
Mm.
And that really kind of hits home,
whoa,
right? When you're like, when you're still like, learning how to drive. He's only 15, right? Like, he's only going through the natural things as a teenager in grade 10. And I remember being in high school because my mom was very sick when I was in high school. I remember the teacher would say, like, write 5 things that you're grateful for. I'll never forget this. And I was the only one in the class, and the teacher called it out, that wrote health. Because at 15, who cares? Right. Who's thinking about health, right? You're thinking about your friends. You're thinking about your job or whatever. And so I think there's perspective when you're around sickness.
Sure.
And fortunately, for your case, and I guess up until 3 years ago in your case, they weren't familiar with it, right? But you almost have to understand, like, this is the realities of life and treat it delicately. And I'm not talking about a 2-year-old. That's really tough.
Yeah.
But when they're 8 and 10 and 12, like, you can have these real heart-to-heart conversations and just turn it, like, enjoy every moment.
Yes.
Because it's not going to be here forever.
Yeah, I think that is an important lesson. I mean, again, depending on their age and how much they can understand, I think it doesn't hurt to have those conversations when they start asking. If they're asking, then they're ready.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point too. Yeah. You don't have to scare them, mm-hmm. right? Because I remember being that age and being like, I was paranoid of my mom leaving the house. I just was so scared that something was going to happen to her,
mm-hmm.
like just driving to work. Like, I just had that fear of my entire life being 7 and 8. I remember it vividly. I remember looking at her go and like watching her last step.
Oh boy.
It was just a weird thing I had. So I was always very aware of death and very scared of it. And so, yeah, you don't want to traumatize them, but you want to walk them through it.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
My biggest concern about my parents dying, and both my parents are still alive, was that, like, when I was young, when I lived on Plumtree, which is a street in Mississauga, that when Ryan and I were growing up, we've been friends since grade 10. Like, we'd be, like, you know, in band practice. We were in a band. And, like, my dad would go to an auction. That was before cell phones, and he'd be, like, an hour late. And I'd be like, well, now I'm 15 and I don't know how to sell a house because my parents are dead.
Yeah, oh, right. Yeah.
So like, how do I move forward as a 15-year-old with a house and a car?
Yeah.
And, you know, that's kind of how I dealt with it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. It's hard. It's hard.
I don't know. There is an answer.
You never want your child to hurt, right?
I know.
You never want your child to worry or to be concerned.
Yeah.
And so that's it. So I guess maybe I'll just tell her the truth that daddy's going to die soon.
Yeah, and to be honest,
I just
got a text from Bryce that said, please give Sarah my number.
Right.
So
win-win.
So maybe Bryce can explain it better than you can.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Questions. We have questions. I just talked about my hard one, which is about death. Do either one of you have a hard question that your kids have asked you?
Sex.
Oh, goodness me. I'd rather talk about death.
Okay, so he's calmed down in asking my little one, but about 2 years ago it started. So he's only 10. And around age 8 was when the questions started coming fast and furious. And I remember I was working on a different radio station. I put it out to the audience, like, what do I do? And everybody replied with this one book. I can't remember the name of it right now. But there was a book that was really good. You can Google it. I'm sure it comes up on all the lists of really good. And I bought the book. And I was like, this is going to be great. We're going to go through the book. It starts very slowly in terms of... And then all of a sudden on page 8, the cartoon mom and dad are under the covers and it's like, bam-o. And as soon as I turn the page, I'm like, well, that's enough for today. And we have not taken the book back out because it was like no foreplay. Right. It was just like sometimes, and they went through like the animal kingdom. I'm like, this is good. Sometimes birds do this. And all of a sudden.
So are you against the book because it didn't have foreplay and Sean enjoys foreplay? You're teaching them wrong.
I needed more time.
Well, sure. Maybe it was just trying to, like, generally speaking, husbands and wives don't do foreplay and they just got to get to it.
That's very true.
Maybe they're under the gun to get pregnant.
That's right. Yeah. So did you talk to your older boy who's grade 10?
No, and I have a situation where he's with his dad half the time and I've just assumed he's covered it all.
Yeah, sure.
He's 16. I hope he knows.
So when you said that your youngest, I was the first to ask and he was 10 mm-hmm. or he's 10 now.
He's 10 now.
What was the question? Do you remember what the question
where
was?
Where do babies come from? Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you can't just say your stomach anymore?
Yeah.
Nope. No. How does it get in there? That was it. How did it get in there?
Gin. Lemon drop.
He's learned it now at school.
Right.
Because my sister-in-law is pregnant and he says, I can't look at Aunt Holly anymore.
Oh, because
and I said, why? Because I know what she did. I was like, oh my God.
Oh, to be that age.
So I know he's learned the amazing mechanics of it.
I know what you
And here's
mechanics.
My question. Does he know that it's not just to have a baby? Like, does he know what's happening for fun?
Does he doesn't need to know that yet.
No.
Right?
Right? So he knows that when we go in the room, I can still say, you know, Daddy's just rubbing out my hip.
Right. Like, I think so. You already had your kids.
He doesn't know. Okay.
Right.
So that's my concern. When he figures out it's...
The light bulb's going to go off in like grade 9 and he's going to be like, oh, that was code.
Yeah.
But by then he's old enough to figure
that's
it out.
That's what I'm thinking.
I'll be honest. I never had that conversation with my parents. You just kind of figured things out. And I have a 15-year-old and we never had that conversation. No. And then definitely my 9-year-old, no interest in talking about it. And even my 13-year-old doesn't really bring it up.
I don't want to talk about
it's
it.
It's kind of like, what the...
Do you not feel like, and maybe you don't, you kind of almost have to have that conversation, like whether you want to or not, like at least they're prepared and educated enough to make decisions.
They're learning it at school.
Yeah. I get it, right? But I also learned a lot of dumb shit at school too, right? I'm just saying, like.
Yeah, but I mean, like in health class, they've got that covered off.
Yeah, like I'll be honest. Yes, I've been pushing it off. I have been kind of putting it aside. You know, it's for me, it's more about, especially having boys, it's about the safety part of it,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Wearing the old jimmies, the old raincoat. You know what I'm saying? Because although I want to be a grandfather, I don't want to be one next year.
Oh my God.
And why are you saying with such like weird accents?
That's
like,
because he's uncomfortable.
Because I get awkward. That's
what we do.
That's what we do when we get awkward.
My mom brought it up. So my son was at breakfast. We went to Sunset Grill on a Sunday morning. And my mom says, has your mom had the talk with you? Over eggs. I was like, what are you doing? Overstep much?
Unfertilized eggs.
Right? Yes.
And Jack just looked horrified. He's like, it looks at me and I look at her.
If you think to yourself at 16, right? Like there were already some people who had already had sex. Like,
yes.
You know what I mean? Like they were the people like that went to the, you know, the mountain and you were like.
Yeah.
I
went to the mountain. I don't know. I was 16.
We work with one.
What?
Right?
Yes, but like of course.
Shauna's going upstairs at a house party. Shauna's going upstairs.
Right? I
was 16, I think, when I lost got the V card gone.
Yeah.
I had no partakers, right? But I was trying to be as sexually active as I could be. So yeah, I'm sure that that sort of thing. And I, have you noticed any sort of like hormonal changes and shifting?
Yes.
I say that as like a totally unlicensed medical professional.
Yeah, like
puberty.
It's tough with this kind of stuff, right? Because I feel like you want to talk about things, but my son has a right to his own life, right?
Yes.
Because I chose this for a living. He didn't, right?
Yes.
So yeah, but I'll just say that, yeah, there's now I have interest in girls and you kind of talk about things like that. And then, you know, like I'm seeing some facial hair and now like I hugged him the other day and I'm like, because I'm a shorter fella. I know I don't sound it. I know I sound 6'4", but I'm 5'7". With shoes on, and I hugged him, and like he's taller than me now, and I'm so happy for that. Like all I want is my kids to be taller than me because I don't want them.
It's not hard.
And so yeah, so his body's changing. Obviously, his body has changed, and he's changing. Yeah. And you know, he's mentioned a few people.
Yeah,
I guess I'll just leave it at that, which is good.
Yeah. Which is, I just think that it like I think sometimes it's a fine line between educating and being overly involved in their space, right? And because they're boys, there is an old school part of me that thinks maybe dad's got it covered, you know, because I don't really know what it's like to be a teenage boy.
Okay, then can Jack's dad cover for me too? Your dad talking to me? Can you, here's three other kids. Have a sit
down. Do a FaceTime.
Yeah, because you know what? Some people are good at that stuff. I'm not. Like I'm not, I could talk about almost anything
me
with them.
Too, Ryan.
But that for some reason, I get very uncomfortable and very awkward. And I never wanted to talk to my parents about it. They never talked to me about it. Not saying it's right.
I know.
But it's the direction I'm going.
Yeah.
So I feel like I pay a lot of taxes, as we all do.
Yes, and the curriculum is right there.
Yeah, have the health teacher. This is a penis, this vagina goes like this.
Yeah. Or watch horror movies that we watched back in the 80s where there's always some kind of a tent and boobs.
Hey, kids, here's Porky's. This is all you need to learn. All right, on this podcast, we've been talking about difficult questions your children have asked you. We talked about death. We talked about sex. And now we're going to talk about money, which was the only way I had sex back in the day. Just kidding. And so it's really, really difficult when, you know, I'm going to say this. I think all of us, I live like a middle class lifestyle, right? Classic suburban home. And, you know, I have a very old minivan and a not as old Mazda. You know, you go on one trip a year, just your basic suburban slob, right? And so been very lucky to be able to provide my children with everything they need in life. The problem is when they want so much more and they go to school and people have different lifestyles, right? And it's so hard to explain to your children when you can't provide certain things. And I'm not talking about food and water, the most important things, very blessed, but things like, I don't know, how come we don't have a cottage?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's just tough to say no to them because they've gotten kind of, as they're young, the things they want sometimes aren't that big of a deal. But as they get older, they want more and more things. And I don't mean in a greedy, selfish way.
No.
I just mean it's just the lifestyle that they know, right? And their friends have this and their friends have
and
that.
And don't forget social media.
Oh, my God.
It's not even school anymore.
Right.
It's what they're watching on, like with Mr. Beast and all these things that they're seeing on YouTube. They think this is life.
Right. And so when they talk to you and approach you about money, it's very difficult because I think there's the guilt. You want to give them everything. But at the same time, I don't want to give them everything because then they don't learn the lessons. And I don't know what the right age is to work, but my two oldest kids had a paper route when they were like 9 and 12 or whatever it was. And now they're not doing anything. And my oldest guy's 15. Like, I think this summer he's got to get a job and he's got to understand.
One.
You've got to understand when you put in a work, like it wasn't until I, you know, really my first real job was at 15 at Loblaws. And I'm like, wow, I just put in 8 hours and I'm only going to get whatever, $36. So now when I want to buy a CD for $20, that's real perspective.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what they need to see.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Has Jack started working?
This is the issue. He was going to work last summer and then he focused on football and he was going to get in shape and go to the gym. And he did do it. He did. Like, there's only so much time. But this summer we're having a bit of a discussion in our household because my husband wants him to get a job. He says, this is crazy. He's 16. He's got to have a job. But again, he's kind of pulling that card of focusing on the sport that he wants to do. And he also has taken a summer school course. So it's not like he's not doing anything. And there's a part of me that thinks you're going to work your whole life. And I just don't, I don't know. I don't want to push him, but I agree with you. That teaches them about value of things.
Oh, totally. And it's like, you know, things like at your kid's age, like tooth fairies and stuff like that, right? When someone in their class will be like, oh, Sarah got $20. And you're like, wow, we're giving five.
Yeah, it's like at Christmas time, that thing will go around on Instagram or TikTok where it says like, hey, if Santa's bringing a PS5, right? Don't put your name on it. Don't say that Santa gave this kid a PS5 because I can't afford to get my kid a PS5. So the struggle is real, right? When it comes to like those sort of social pressures when it comes to money. I'm very, very, very lucky right now that my kids, Jack's really into superheroes. So, of course, Batman needs a Robin, needs a Batgirl, right? And these $11, $12, $13 figures don't really tie into anything.
Right.
Olivia's not really into anything that's overly super expensive right now. The only thing that's expensive right now are their programs. Have I been influenced is the wrong word, but I had to take Olivia out of gymnastics because it was too expensive. I thought that money could have been divided three different ways and been able to give more programs to the kids than just one gymnastics course for Olivia. So that sort of pressure as well to provide these amazing programs.
I think that's harder to say no to.
For my kids. Absolutely. Right.
Activities.
Because you're like, you know, it's easy to say, I'm not going to get you that video game because you're just whatever. But like gymnastics teaches, you know, X, Y, and Z. So it's hard. But, you know, we're reinvesting into like other things in which they do.
Yeah.
And, you know, not to bring Christmas up again, but Rai, you said that like one kid wanted a PS5. One kid wanted like a $400 hockey stick.
Yeah.
Like these aren't drops in the bucket sort of whatevers. And if this kid, you know, your son who plays very high-end hockey goes out and snaps that stick in a month, like you're screwed.
Well, and that's the other part of it. Like when you have more than one child, two or three, is that like, I'll tell you right now, my middle kid gets more only because he needs more, right? Mm-hmm. He needs to have those hockey skates. He needs to get that stick. It's not out of preference. It's just if the other two played, they'd have to get it too.
Yes, yes.
And so I feel bad when, you know, my little guy who doesn't get a lot wants another stuffy that's only $25, but he's got a million of them. And I know he's not going to play with it for more than a day because I'm like, oh, no, buddy, we can't afford it. But then there's a broken hockey stick. There's $250 gone before you know it. And I'm sure you're the same, like football cleats and all this stuff.
Oh, man.
Like it just adds up. And then on top of that, and this is not their fault, but it's really difficult. The older they get too, Johnny, is the more they eat. And you're just like the groceries. It's like we have to go 3 times a week.
Yes.
It's just nothing lasts at all. And so, but they don't even put that in their brain.
Yeah.
Right. Like you can't say we can't afford it because it's either we get that or we don't eat.
Oh, it's crazy.
Can't imagine the people that are like, and again, going back to like living just kind of a middle-class lifestyle. I can't imagine people that are, you know, and I probably am pretty much paycheck to paycheck, but I can't imagine people that are really struggling.
Yeah.
How you make ends meet. And that's why you see, like, is it Canadian Tire that does like the kickback with the sports,
jump start.
The jump start and stuff like that? Because I hate to think of, as you mentioned with gymnastics, Johnny, it breaks my heart to think that there is might be these great kids in whatever sport and discipline that never, ever have the opportunity.
Absolutely.
Because you can't. And I think that's why soccer is so popular, which is wonderful because my kid played soccer as well. And even at rep, it's not crazy. It's not crazy. But house league soccer, I was blown away where my kids play. That how much soccer games you get in, how long the season is for how much it costs. Yeah. It was only a couple $100s.
Oh, wow.
And you play for like May, June, July, August, into September, shin pads, cleats. Like for $400-$500, you could have a kid playing a sport.
Yep.
And so I don't know, not to turn this into anything, but if you have extra money to give out, I would say like kids' sports programs would be wonderful.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I think you have to watch your language around money because we were getting to the point where we were saying we can't afford it, can't afford it, can't. And then I caught my little guy like really upset. He says, are we going to lose the house? I was like, what?
Sure.
Because I just kept saying that phrase.
Right.
We're poor. Like we're broke. You know, you say it.
Yes.
And again, you have to think about the language. You have to think about each kid's maturity level and what they're hearing.
Yeah,
right. So we had to have a conversation.
Yeah, I think it's also tone as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like you could joke around with your kids being like, you know, daddy's got no money. Like daddy doesn't have money to get you ice cream today. I apologize. Blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, you're getting a call from the school being like, hey, do you need an outreach program? Like,
exactly.
Your kid's saying that, like, there's no food at home. And you're like, I was joking, especially in this day and age, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, it's super tough. And, you know, I don't know about you guys. I'm not making any more money, right? Things are going up, gas, food, all these other things. I'm not making any more money. So, you got to make it stretch. And I think, you know, you're doing a good job and we're doing a good job. And you just got to keep going.
Well, to back up your point, we just did doing our taxes. I looked at my T4, my wife's T4, because she just started working in the last, you know, couple of years. We've never made more money, never been more poor.
Great point.
So I'll never be broke because tell your kids, line of credit.
If you have any questions, please send us an email at badparents@curiouscast.ca. My name's Johnny Garbutt.
I'm Shauna.
And I'm broke.
And we'll be back next week on the Bad Parents Podcast.